VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Great to have you along on this Friday News Roundup, if you will. News Roundup always, most of the time, brought to you on a Friday as we would look back at a busy week filled with news headlines and concerns. But this week, jumping in here just a little bit early and in for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor. Thank you so much for joining us. And friends, just because we're getting at this a day early, if you will, here today, does not mean that we do not have enough to talk about, and we certainly do. In fact, with the stack here that Sandy has compiled from earlier this week, and then just some happenings from the last 24, 48 hours, whatever the case may be, we have plenty, plenty to keep us busy here today. Also, later inside of this hour of Crosstalk, we do hope to open up our phone lines and hear from guess who? Hear from you. We'll be sharing our telephone number line with you here shortly and invite your phone calls as we look at some of the major headlines. And getting right out the gate here this time, many are concerned about the supply chain. You're hearing many of the news entities talking about the slowing down of America. President Biden making some comments on this just yesterday, launching an effort to ease supply chain blockages that are threatening to disrupt, well, the final months here of 2021. And we borrow this one from SRN News.
The president announced that the Port of Los Angeles is following the lead of the Port of Long Beach in going 24/7.
40% of shipping containers that we import into this country come through these two ports.
It's an effort to relieve supply chain bottlenecks and move the stranded container ships that are driving prices higher for Americans. Mr. Biden also said shipping companies FedEx and UPS are pledging to work around the clock. Greg Clugston, Washington.
So obviously much concern, the president trying to, well, at least appear to be working on the issue. And the shortage of warehouse workers and truck drivers and the like, there's simply just a worker shortage as well. That is partly to blame. And, well, there are other things that many people believe are in play as well to be slowing things down. Just this morning in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis was speaking. He's been speaking quite a bit this week, also concerning supply chain. And he's even talking about the holidays, the headline that says Governor DeSantis warning that kids may not get toys for Christmas. Talk about a Grinch story here. But in all seriousness, the governor said, you see all of these problems with the shipping and not being able to get goods. We don't even know if the kids will get toys at Christmas. He was speaking at a Northwest Florida college. DeSantis said that Florida ports could handle it and get things out, echoing a push by the Florida Ports Council to increase activity at the Florida ports in the wake of issues in California and elsewhere offloading their imports. The governor said he was concerned about some of the things you see coming out of Washington, all of the inflation, and of course he was hinting toward this current 13-year high of inflation. The governor, being optimistic, says we are pushing in the right direction and that the state of Florida is positioned to beat back some of those headwinds. These comments, dire warnings about Christmas and giftless youth, notwithstanding, are a measure more optimistic than previous comments about inflationary headwinds over which DeSantis said the state would be powerless. DeSantis did say that in the last 15 months, the federal government has added more to the debt than we've ever seen since World War II in such a short period of time. In my view, or his view, Governor DeSantis says that something's got to be done. There's got to be The bill's going to come due somehow, whether it's higher interest rates, higher inflation. He said he's not sure, but it is a concern when you look around and see even just gas prices. Now, that was earlier in the week when Governor DeSantis was talking about supply chain. And then just this morning in Florida's panhandle, where the governor once again took on criticizing vaccine mandates in his state and around the country. On Tuesday, the Florida Department of Health issued the $3.5 million fine for Leon County, saying the municipality there violated Florida's vaccine passport law by firing 14 workers who failed to get the shots, the COVID shots. DeSantis said, "We're really concerned about these forced vaccine mandates on the workforce." This was just this morning. The fact of the matter is, he says, you take in medical with nurses, a fraction of them decide that this is not something they want to do and leave it. And leave it will absolutely cause a lot of these health systems to hemorrhage. And then you look at all these other companies that do it. And so DeSantis says, I know the President Biden is trying to force this on everybody. DeSantis said he's open to creating more legal protections for workers, those who don't want to get the COVID shot, and said that there may be an announcement coming in his state on that very soon. And if we look back at this week, back on Tuesday, when the Biden administration called out Republican governors such as DeSantis for opposing the coronavirus vaccine mandates for businesses, saying that they are, quote, putting politics ahead of public health, end of quote. Now, in Jacksonville today, Democratic candidate for governor there, Charlie Crist, criticized DeSantis and his COVID-19 response during a meeting with his supporters and even some, quote, faith leaders that joined in. And so the debate rolls on, not only in Florida, but across the country on these mandates. Now, on near the top of the stack here today. Oh, and can we say this? Can we just back up for just a moment? Obviously, there's concern. We have traditions here in our nation, and we love Christmas time, and we love the true reason for the season. Saying that Christmas, we should point this out. Saying that Christmas is at risk due to supply chain problems must lead us to ask the question, do we really know what Christmas is all about? Amen. Amen to that. Again, not trying to minimize. We love tradition and some of those things, but none of those things should ever, should ever remove our celebration of Jesus Christ, and not just one day of the year either. Okay, now on to more from the stack of stories that we review here today. Surely you've possibly heard, possibly even on this network or saw on one of the major news networks, Dr. Peter McAuliffe, and he is now urging unbreakable resistance to vaccines for kids. And unbreakable resistance is the quote. Eminent COVID-19 expert and highly published physician Dr. Peter McAuliffe provided a comprehensive, well-documented presentation to colleagues regarding the unbelievable, I'm quoting here, the unbelievable atrocity occurring in the West due to gene transfer vaccine campaigns, the necessity for an unbreakable resistance against children receiving the jab, and the astounding ineptitude and willful misconduct of public health agencies. Friends, this is some strong language. Dr. McAuliffe, who has made the case multiple times that no one in the world has more authority on this topic than him, provided a detailed analysis of multiple scientific studies and data reports demonstrating the failure of the vaccine program, the suppression of effective early treatments, and the, quote, robust, complete, and durable qualities of natural immunity. Do we ever talk about natural immunity? Dr. McAuliffe is. Now, Dr. Robert Malone, the architect of the mRNA platform. Maybe you remember hearing about the architect, the one that was responsible for helping build and present the mRNA platform that's been used by Pfizer and Moderna for vaccines. He has tweeted recently, I'll say it again, watch this speech from Dr. Peter McAuliffe. He is on fire, and he is spot on. His summary of the data is precise and detailed. Please take the time to watch that video and get outraged. Among many topics addressed by McAuliffe at the October 2nd annual meeting of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons was an initial focus on the serious lack of transparency of safety data and proper monitoring of the program. Someone is standing up somewhere saying, hello, let's look further into this. Some of the topics that they discussed, I'll get through this as quick as we can. We're coming up against the break. McAuliffe cited a paper from back in May involving 57 authors from 17 countries, which, having noticed no evidence of DSMBs and external advisory committees established to monitor the COVID-19 vaccine, wrote vaccination should be halted immediately. These were some of the subjects. Another citing early peer-reviewed safety warning by Jessica Rose with a bar chart showing an enormous jump in reports and deaths due to vaccines in 2021, 40 times higher than last year, 2020, saying that we had Americans dying after vaccination. It was obvious. In addition to the statistics above that I'm reading here, Dr. McAuliffe lamented, sadly, we have over 20,000 Americans that the CDC tells us are permanently disabled after the vaccine. That's bigger than some major cancer groups. The disability that we are going to see due to these vaccines will go down in history as an unbelievable atrocity. In fact, the physician pointed to a paper which demonstrated the shots to be more dangerous than COVID-19 itself. Now, the FDA and the CDC recognize that myocarditis is a significant risk, having evaluated some 200 cases back in June where 90% of the patients were hospitalized. The doctor says we now have raced up to 5,000 cases of myocarditis here in the U.S. And we heard just yesterday, at the time of this writing, that Gavin Newsom, governor of California, has just mandated the mandatory vaccinations for all children in California with absolutely no concern regarding the effect which will occur in many, many children as they are forced into the vaccine. The CDC started telling us through May that the vaccines were failing. McAuliffe cited a report indicating over 10,000 breakthrough infections where 10% were hospitalized and 2% died. We'll take this short break. We'll come back and finish up this article with Dr. Peter McAuliffe. But friends, let's just look at what's here. And let it be heard and let it be known and make some decisions for ourselves. Crosstalk will continue.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as unique as the giraffe is, how did it get its long neck?
Chris, an evolutionary story has it that during drought, those animals with long necks could eat leaves higher up in the trees. They survived while the others went extinct. Even though this story is told and retold in evolutionary circles, it's not even a little bit true. The giraffe has many precise design features to support its body style. For instance, a heart which will pump the blood all the way up to the head, and then traps in the blood vessels to keep the head from exploding when the giraffe puts his head down to drink from the lake. There's much more to a giraffe than just a long neck. Everything about him is designed to be just this. Modern-day giraffes are very well adapted to the environment to fill an ecological niche. They were designed to do so. They did not evolve. And that's how I see it from a back-to-Genesis perspective.
For more on Genesis, visit us on the web at icr.org.
Today is a news roundup and comments on a Thursday. And just before the break, we were coming to the end of one of these headline stories. Again, COVID expert Dr. Peter McAuliffe urging unbreakable resistance to vaccines for kids despite the statewide mandate in California that all the kids receive the jab. And, well, the CDC started telling us through May that the vaccines were failing. McAuliffe cited a report indicating over 10,000 breakthrough infections where 10% were hospitalized and 2% died. And that didn't look good. But the CDC data kept coming in showing that just the opposite. July 26th, 6,587 cases, McAuliffe said. Further of those, 95% were hospitalized, and sadly we had 19% who died. Now we go to August 23rd, 11,050 full vaccine failure cases that the CDC is telling America about on their website. Sadly, 87% of the deaths are over age 65, and 70% of the hospitalizations are also over age 65. This is failure of the vaccine program and the group we really wanted to protect. So then Dr. McAuliffe covers, he reports how a group in Italy has gotten to zero hospitalizations by one thing, early treatment. Using something that maybe you have heard of, hydroxychloroquine, a hydroxychloroquine-based program. It's working in Italy. Now, how about in vaccinating those recovered already from COVID? What about someone who has attained natural immunity but is still about to receive the jab? Vaccinating people who have had COVID-19 that already have natural immunity is at this point in time, it's out of bounds, says Dr. McAuliffe, citing a paper by Jennifer Block, who has shown 20 studies support natural immunity is robust, complete, and durable, and far superior to vaccine immunity. So in conclusion, we have much more to talk about than just the COVID shot. But in conclusion, it can't be about COVID at this point in the game. That's really wrapping up what Dr. Peter McAuliffe is saying. Friends, this is troubling. When a doctor puts it all on the line and says it can't be about COVID at this stage. It's about some type of mental contagion. It's about some type of mental psychosis, some type of neurosis, some type of totalitarian takeover that's occurred all over the world. Something very dark is going on. Thank you, Dr. Peter McAuliffe, for your comments and, of course, your work. Friends, we could cover stories all day on just this one subject, and one that we really must get to. LifeSite News is reporting just today a recently vaccinated pilot died during a flight, causing the co-pilot to make an emergency landing. A Delta Airlines flight attendant present for the incident said this, according to a doctor. A former drug development expert at the Food and Drug Administration. It was told that a Delta Airlines flight attendant, along with two separate whistleblowers, said that earlier this month, a recently vaccinated pilot flying out of L.A. died during a commercial flight, leading the co-pilot to make an emergency landing. That just released earlier today from LifeSite News. Well, I'm sure some of this will come along here, more stories on, those vaccinated and the troubles from it. But the last thing you want to hear, the last thing we want to read about here today is the next step, the next round of COVID-19 outbreak. So the Geller Report has this from earlier this week. The Chinese regime has notified local authorities to prepare for a large-scale outbreak of COVID-19. This according to leaked internal documents obtained by the Chinese Epoch Times. Both notices request enhanced preparations for an emergency response to the outbreak, with the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, putting forward at least two standards for local authorities. One, to build central isolation sites, with local authorities required by the end of October to create facilities of not less than 20 rooms per 10,000 people. The scale of each isolation site must be more than 100 rooms. Based on the standards set in the notice, it would be that they will need to build at least 83,000 quarantine rooms by the end of October, which is about 47,000 rooms in less than a month. A quote here says that no matter who you are, as long as the CCP says that you tested positive in a nucleic acid test, it will deprive you of all of your rights. The CCP's quarantine sites are actually an alternative form of a concentration camp. And just as we were reading this, just as I was reading this, one cannot help but think they're building rooms for thousands of people, and they're going to do what? And, well, at least someone is willing to say it and mention as more fear of another round of this. And, well, what is the source? Where is this coming from? Getting all of this from news from the CCP. So what do you do? Next headline, a story that has been breaking for the past several days now. News was brought to Dr. Stephen Quay, whose research became part of a State Department probe of the origin of COVID-19 under President Trump. If you haven't heard yet, be prepared for a shock. China continuing to experiment with the next virus that poses an existential threat to life as we know it on this planet. While COVID-19 has just a 1% lethality rate, the one the Chinese have been working on furiously since December of 2019 is 80% lethal. Quay says it needs to be stopped. Again, Dr. Stephen Quay, whose research became part of a State Department probe of the origins of COVID-19. His credentials are impeccable. He's the founder of Atossa Therapeutics in Seattle, a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company developing novel therapeutics for oncology and infectious diseases. He earned his MD and PhD from the University of Michigan, was a postdoctoral fellow at MIT, a resident at the Harvard MGH Hospital, and a faculty member of Stanford University School of Medicine. He has more than 360 published contributions to medicine and has been cited more than 10,500 times, which places him in the top 1% of scientists worldwide. He holds 87 U.S. patents and has invented 7 FDA-approved pharmaceuticals that have been prescribed to more than 80 people. And you heard what we just shared here about how he is warning folks of what the next things are to be looking for and to be to be expecting. Coming up, we could open the phone lines right now. We won't yet, but coming up, we will be opening up the phone lines and looking forward to hearing from you and letting you weigh in. What about the church? What's the church saying? Well, some pastors in Ohio saying we have no king but King Jesus. 101 Ohio pastors are pushing back against a vaccine mandate in an open letter to Joe Biden earlier this week. Some say the mandate violates an individual's personal and religious freedom, while others are arguing that it ignores the natural immunity of millions of Americans that have already recovered after having dealt with COVID-19. So this group that we mentioned, a group of Ohio clergy representing more than 100 congregations across the state, all signed a letter back on Monday that was addressed to President Biden, detailing their strong disapproval of his directive. This all according to Frontlines Ohio. The quote here, as clergymen from 101 diverse congregations across North Central Ohio, we would like to note that this unnecessary mandate by your office is in sharp contrast to the statement you made as president-elect on December the 4th of 2020 when you stated you would not impose a national vaccine mandate. This unilateral and divisive order is unethical and tantamount to what a totalitarian king would dictate. Furthermore, Mr. President, with respect to your vaccine mandate, we respond by saying we have no king but King Jesus. Several pastors representing, 100 or more congregations in North Central Ohio, the state of Ohio, making a stand, standing up, being heard on their opinion on the mandates. There are others standing up, friends, even those in the NBA. LifeSite News reporting today that NBA player Kyrie Irving has refused to comply with the New York City COVID-19 vaccine mandate despite being suspended by his club for the entirety of the upcoming NBA season. Kyrie Irving, the 29-year-old Brooklyn Nets basketball player, took to his Instagram yesterday in a 24-minute long live stream saying that he will not be pressured into taking the jab. The day before, the Nets team owner, Sean Marks, announced that Irving would be unable to practice or play with his team as he is unvaccinated. And, Kyrie is saying much regarding all of this and the decision to not allow him to practice or play, saying that it's a crazy time that we're in. This is not normal. What's going on here is not normal. You have to put your livelihood on the line because of a mandate that you don't necessarily agree with. And now he is saddened that some people have demonized him because of his decision. So there are those who are standing up and even paying the price, even in places where you wouldn't necessarily expect them to be standing up. Here's a headline: college athletes win religious freedom case against a jab-pushing university, and now they will not have to get the COVID shot. Why? Because they stood up. Mandatory COVID-19 vaccination violates Western Michigan University's athletes' religious liberties under the First Amendment. A three-judge panel of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled back on October the 7th. Epic Times reported that the WMU does not have a vaccine mandate for the student body as a whole, but requires student athletes to take the shot in order to participate in the games as well as practices. Athletes must also wear masks during practice and submit to regular COVID testing. 16 athletes applied for religious exemptions to the mandate, which the WMU would not recognize or did not recognize. They filed a lawsuit with the help of the Great Lakes Justice Center. A U.S. District Court for the Western District of Michigan Southern Division issued a preliminary injunction against the university enforcing the mandate. WMU appealed to the Sixth Circuit, three judges of which have unanimously sided with the students. And a senior counsel person, David Coleman, says this is a great win for our clients and for religious liberty. Folks are standing up, and that's what it appears to be taking. We will begin hearing from you. Would love to hear from you today as we'll open the phone lines at 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. We'll get to the phones. Hearing from you when Crosstalk continues. The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's Fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-sized hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. Again, in for Jim Schneider. I am Dalton Windsor. We are opening up our phone lines to begin hearing from you at 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Just before we go to the phones to hear from you today, surely you've heard on the in the news headlines this week about all of the trouble with Southwest Airlines having to cancel some 1,800 flights this coming days after pilots began speaking out, standing up against the vaccine mandates. And apparently the airline claiming that, no, it's bad weather that has delayed flights. But I think many folks are seeing through this. But as it was, just 2 days after Southwest Pilots Union asked a federal judge to block the company's vaccine mandate, the airline canceled 1,800 flights beginning late last week and into the weekend. Talk about disrupting travel for folks, thousands of people, customers being stranded, flight crews being stranded, and everyone blaming someone else, the meltdown, blaming all this meltdown on a combination of bad weather, air traffic control, and its own shortage of available staff. But in a note to staff on Sunday, the executive vice president of daily flight operations, Alan Kasher, said that the airline did not anticipate the series of disruptions that arose over the weekend. Last Friday, the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association filed a lawsuit asking that a federal judge temporarily block the company from carrying out federally mandated coronavirus vaccinations until an existing lawsuit over alleged U.S. labor law violations would be resolved. That, according to Bloomberg report. And then the legal filing went on to say the new vaccine mandate unlawfully imposes new conditions of employment, and the new policy threatens termination of any pilot not fully vaccinated by December 8th of 2021. Friends, this was the story as it was beginning at the week. And if you heard in the last segment, we shared from LifeSite News, a recently vaccinated pilot dying during a flight. And that's a breaking story from earlier today as that has began to break out. That story coming out now. Anyway, the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association represents nearly 10,000 pilots. And despite the peculiar timing of their cancellations, these pilots, these leaders, told CNBC that pilots were not participating in a massive strike, blaming the airline's poor planning. We can say with confidence that our pilots are not participating in any official or unofficial job actions. Our pilots will continue to overcome the management's poor planning as well as any external operational challenges and remain the most productive pilots in the world. You know, we often say, and it's good to do this, we often say let's pray for our leaders, let's pray for our police and firemen and first responders and all of those. We should be praying for our pilots as well, and, well, all of our country and world. Let's go to the phones and hear from you, 1-800-733-9829. Looks like Aaron is in Grafton, Wisconsin. Aaron, you're on Crosstalk.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, on the topic of the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles, I just wanted to give you a little detail that maybe you wouldn't hear in the news. I'm originally from Long Beach, and I have a good friend who works at the port. And she told me today, she goes, from her perspective, she said, we have plenty of workers here at the port. The problem is really truckers. We need more trucks, and we need the big box stores to stay open 24/7 right now. But I don't really understand the story behind the truckers. I know they get paid well. So I just wanted to share that's from her perspective.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. And sounds like there are companies hiring then. So we need those truckers, and we need folks to keep America moving. That's for sure. We appreciate them. And Aaron, thank you for your call today.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Alan is in Waseca, Wisconsin. Alan, thanks for calling Crosstalk.
Hello.
Hello there.
So just a quick question. I was just told by my wife, company I used to work for is mandating the vaccine, and I know there's a lot of people that are really against it. I just quit there about a year ago, and I'm glad I did. What are people's options? Right now they're saying vaccinate or get fired. Are there any options for those who absolutely refuse to get vaccinated?
Well,
fired?
Well, Alan, thank you for the call, and we would not have near enough time to go into full detail on that one. I do know from even shows that Jim has hosted within the past week or so that lc.org is a wonderful place to go to get information. Get online, go to lc.org. That's Liberty Council. Our friend Matt Staver really standing up for so many Americans who have these questions. So many Americans who are being told, take the jab or don't feed your families. I mean, that's literally what this is, Alan. And so great question. For sake of time and just moving along here, we have visited this subject even as recently as last week. I believe it was a week ago, Monday, when Jim had Matt Staver on addressing the issue. So go log on to lc.org, get some information there. We have anonymous caller. Anonymous, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hello. I have a friend who did not have the vaccine, and she got COVID. And she was quite sick for several days, got pneumonia in both lungs, and then got better. And she rested for several days, and she got back to work. So.
Oh, okay. So just,
no point in getting the vaccine. You're going to kill yourself if you do.
Well, thank you for that. And there isn't enough being said. Thank you, Anonymous, for the call. There isn't enough being said about natural immunity. We're not denying that this is a real virus. We're not denying a lot of the truths that are taking place and the pain and the suffering that is going on in our country right now. But to deny natural immunity, to never even acknowledge that, is a big foul right now. And we hope that more people, such as Dr. Peter McAuliffe, who is sounding that alarm right now, he's blowing that trumpet saying yes to natural immunity and allowing that to be at the front of center of treatment and what needs to take place. Let's go to line four. Pam is in Dakota, Minnesota. Pam, thank you for calling Crosstalk.
Hi, Dalton. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to give a brief summary of what just happened to me. I work for Mayo Clinic in La Crosse, and they have officially given their notice that if you're not vaccinated, you will be terminated by, I believe it's December 5th. I went to a nurse today and I asked for the insert to the Pfizer vaccine, and just like you'd get in any other medication or even the flu vaccine, she gave me a piece of paper that Mayo wrote up on their own, which anyone could get from the CDC or the internet. And I said, don't you have an insert for this? And she said, no, we just get a whole bunch of them sent out to us from wherever they get them shipped from. And she looked at me like I was crazy for even asking, but they're going to be mandating this. And they made it very clear in their email, too, that religious exemptions will be very, very limited, and they're pretty much leaving it up to some secret powers that be to determine whether or not they will accept your religious exemption or not. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and, you know, you there in Minnesota and, 49 other states that we could probably include in this subject, Pam, dealing with this very issue. What a tough situation to, you know, take the jab or don't feed your family. And so many are up against this, and we certainly sympathize with your situation and know that, there are some people, as we just mentioned moments ago, lc.org, a great place to go through Liberty Council and the work of Matt Staver and his team to help some folks with these religious exemptions and doing what they can to help as many as they can with these deadlines that so many are up against. Now, you also have the red state, blue state debate, where things seem to go so much better in the red states. Here's a headline out of Texas. Governor Abbott signing the executive order expanding a vaccine mandate ban to any private entity. Now, I guess there was a previous issuing the executive order prohibiting state agencies from requiring employees to get vaccinated. Texas Republican Governor Abbott now expanding the ban to include any entity, including private companies, and citing President Biden's recent edict mandating the vaccines for businesses with 100 or more workers nationwide, calling it yet another instance of federal overreach. Governor Abbott signing a subsequent executive order just this past Monday that defies and effectively reverses the directive within Texas. So there's an example. Yes, we have what you have going on there in Minnesota, and then you look to another state, and it is kind of interesting where you find that red state, blue state line, if you will, that seems to be making much the difference. So we talk about those that we need to be praying for. We also encourage prayer for these governors who are making a stand and being a voice for all of the people. Brad is in West Allis. Brad, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hey, Dalton.
Hi, Brad.
It's interesting, this new story about the Red Chinese coming out with this information about a new COVID outbreak from their Wuhan Red Chinese virus.
Mm-hmm.
I see it one of two ways. Either it's baloney and to be used as an excuse to put people in work camps, or it's real and the Chi-Coms are causing it to put people in work camps or just to kill them altogether. And that one soldier that was on Brandon's show in the last hour,
yes,
he mentioned something that we already knew. The criminal aliens coming across the border, they're not taking the kill shot. And besides, if they were taking the kill shot, we'd be seeing it on TV and hearing how wonderful it is. But we're not. That means they're not taking the kill shot. And as for the government, if they could, the government would ban natural immunity, no matter what anybody says. This is the kind of nut job, crazy nut situation we're in right now. And we have to stay away from taking that shot and get ready for things to get worse.
All right, Brad. I fear you may be right with so many things that you are saying. But thank you, Brad, in Wisconsin. Let's quickly, before the break, run over to Brad in Michigan. Brad, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a truck driver, and I wanted to comment on California because, without going into detail, if anyone looked at the regulations of trucking, it's federal and state, and California, of course, is very, very regulatory on everything, including the fact, and I can't prove this, but I heard that if you're trucking in California, you have to be vaccinated. So there's a shipping problem, yeah, but there's going to be more and more trucking problems if they continue to impose extreme regulations and vaccinations. So I just wanted to let you know that if anyone wanted to look that up, they'd see that's part of the problem.
All right, Brad, we thank you. Thank you for what you do, by the way. You keep America moving.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, truck driver joining us there from Ironwood, Michigan today. The telephone number to be on Crosstalk, 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. We're up against yet another break. We'll come back and hear from Greg in Illinois and look at some other stories quickly. Here's a riddle for you. What is rusty and costs $100 million? We'll tell you when Crosstalk continues.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently on my national television program, I interviewed former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston. Well, she revealed a horrifying new patent that will connect vaxxed people to artificial intelligence-powered algorithms, and they will track where you go and who you are with. Now, this sounds like science fiction, but it's not. We went through the patent on the air. Anyone can get a look at the patent on the patent website of the U.S. government, and it's multiple pages. We showed the screenshots. They literally track you with an ID. Anyone else that gets this in the new vaccines also has an ID. If you don't social distance as ordered, you get a negative score. The patent even shows people who go to church, one individual, she got a negative score. This is social credit scores under the guise of a pandemic. We've uncovered it at WVWTV.com.
We are back on Crosstalk, 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. The world awoke this morning to a terrible story out of Norway. Did you hear of the bow and arrow attack? A bow and arrow attack in which a Danish convert to Islam is suspected of killing five people in a Norwegian town that all appears to have been an act of terror. This we just received earlier today. Five people losing their life by bow and arrow. And we pulled this story down from Reuters. But there's still, of course, that's a breaking story and definitely a shame. But wow. Greg is in Illinois. Greg, thank you for calling Crosstalk.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I just also want to say, Dalton, I think you're doing a fantastic job. I don't know if anybody's told you that yet, but between you and Jim, it's just fantastic hosting, so thank you for that. With all these nurses and doctors that are being fired because they won't take this jab, I'm thinking that there's a lot of available nurses and doctors that, maybe there's a market now for a new type of health care where we may see some sort of, I don't know if I'm oversimplifying this, but maybe we'll see some type of new health care where there's more house-to-house nurses and doctors that are willing to make house calls, and maybe some other sorts of hospitals that have different philosophies and different administrations that aren't as anxious to jab their patients. It's just my idea.
Well,
thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate your comments. And, there are those standing up saying we've got to, there are those that are saying we have to build back better. Well, there are those that are clearly thinking, saying we need to completely rebuild the way we've been doing things because where we are at present is no longer going to work. So we may have to find other ways. Wouldn't it be interesting if we went back to the way it used to be where we've heard of yesteryear where the doctors or nurses and such made those house calls. I'm not calling for that. We're not saying that, but wouldn't that be interesting if things, did have to change? And, there are changes taking place. Here's a headline. A fourth country stopping COVID vaccines. And, friends, certainly don't wish to spend the entire time we have left talking of this, but Iceland has now stopped using the Moderna COVID-19 jab for its entire population. Not just the children and young adults, but stopping it for everyone. This according to their health authorities. They say the risk of heart problems is too high. 80.7% of its population fully vaccinated. Iceland is among the world's most COVID-19 vaccinated countries, and they're stopping the jab, saying it's just there's just too much risk. So quickly, we'll run over to Jim in Wisconsin. Thanks for calling Crosstalk.
Yes, I just got 3 points to make. Regarding that pilot story that died after getting the shots, I had reposted that a few days ago on Facebook, and they said that was false information, and so they banned that story. So I'd like to know the scoop on that.
All right.
And then regarding this new virus that China's been working on, it's called got an 80% chance of death rate. It's called the Nipah virus, N-I-P-A-H. Something you might want to look into. And then one more thing, they got what these called green zones for either people that are being quarantined or don't refuse the shots, and they're being set up all around the world. I'm concerned that they're being set up here in this country. I do know structures going up in Fort McCoy right now. I was asking a guy I was working on, I say, do you know what that structures for? He says it's for barracks, but it's like, I'm concerned it might be one of those internment centers for people. So anyway, something to look into.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. And again, that story on the airline pilot, LifeSite News publishing this just earlier today, Delta Airlines pilot died mid-flight days after a vaccination. That's the report today from LifeSite News. Now, looks like Jerry is in Wisconsin. Thanks for calling, Jerry.
Yeah, people need to start listening to Matt Staver and Liberty Counsel. He's been stating all along that our Constitution does prohibits us from having to take something like this. So why are congressmen, at least the Republican side, why are they not talking about this and preaching, hey, excuse me, Mr. Biden, here's what the Constitution says. We do have rights against this. And what about, how come all the people in government, Congress, Senate, and the president and his cabinet, and it seemed like some of these companies that are coming up with these vaccines, why are they immune from having to take the shot?
Exactly.
And what about all the people coming in from across the border?
Yes.
How many of those are getting the shot? I think they don't have to take it, but the rest of us do.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff needs to be talked about every single day.
Yep.
So everybody hears this and realize we have rights. The Constitution gives us rights to deny stuff like this.
Jerry, thank you for your call. And you are correct. You'd be, I believe the second caller to mention the border and those crossing over. They're not subject to all of these mandates. Speaking of the border, we asked the question, what is rusty and costs $100 million? Here's a headline. Joe Biden lets $100 million in border wall construction material rust, lying unused as yet another 60,000 migrants head to the already overwhelmed U.S.-Mexico frontier. We're looking at enough steel to construct 100 miles of border wall. That's about $100 million worth that is just laying there as we read how the Biden administration has canceled the remaining contracts for the border wall project that, of course, was spearheaded under the Trump administration. Garland is in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. If you hurry, Garland, we can get to you.
Okay, I'll be quick. I understand that there's a California truck ban that says all trucks must be 2011 or newer and the engine can't be before 2010. And if they are older, they can't register with the DMV. And there's a California law called AB5 that prohibits owner-operators. And I understand it's because they are non-union. And Biden finally got his boat parade. Thank you so much.
Garland, thank you for your phone call. And this is one of those days, which always happens. We could easily spend an additional hour talking of all of this. But friends, let your light, Jesus said this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's make a stand for the God who loves us and let the world know what he has done.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.